The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass, as I sit here alone.
As it has been mandated.
Yes, of course. We are keeping our safe distancing here at The Voice. We keep the safe distancing, but we are bringing people together in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening, available at buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback with KVOI.com. Today is Thursday, April 23rd, 2020. All the podcasts available for you at buckmastershow.com. And we've had, Tom, so much reaction to the interview that we did here on the program with University of Arizona President Robbins yesterday, where he made the announcement that at this point the University of Arizona will do face-to-face classes in August. It will be revisited in June. But the big, that's news, yeah, but then the other news.
This is actual classroom participation. With the desired distancing and all, social distancing.
And then the Arizona Daily Star picked that up, and the big news was really the sports end of the news interview, that he said that he doubts college football will be played in the fall.
Oh, and that's the biggie.
Yeah, and that story has now been picked up by ESPN, so getting a lot of great news coverage here for
the
Buckmaster
Show. One of
the
universities in a Big Five conference coming right out and stating that.
Yeah, it's really a big story. Anyway, the Buckmaster Show contributor on health, Dr. Victoria Mazes, the Andrew Weil Endowed Chair in Integrative Medicine and the Executive Director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. She is a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. Dr. Mazes is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine. She's committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that solve America's healthcare system problems. She's editor of the Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health, and author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about her on her website, victoriamazesmd.com, or follow her on Twitter at vmazes. Dr. Mazes joining us now on the live line. How are you today?
I am doing well, thank you. I am safe at home and wearing my mask when I go out for a walk and go to the store, so following all of the important public health recommendations.
Well, that is one of the things we've learned, that over the past month or so, people have been generally staying at home, and it appears to have been effective in abating the outbreak of COVID-19. One thing that's not so good news, Dr. Mazes, is America is in desperate need of a bath. I don't know if you saw this story that came out today. Unilever, which is one of the world's biggest manufacturers of soap, shampoo, and deodorant products, personal hygiene has hit an all-time low. It would be kind of funny if soap wasn't included in that. I hope people are buying soap.
Well, we know that careful hand washing for at least 20 seconds is a critically important part of protecting ourselves, because when you wash your hands for 20 seconds with soap, front and back, between the fingers, you kill the virus. So hopefully soap, and when I went to the store, there certainly was very little hand soap on the shelves.
Well, good. I think what this does point out, that people just feel that they're at home and they don't need to clean up, get a shower and shave. But as this article in Best Life points out, it can be a pick-me-up if you want to improve your mood, maybe a shower and a shave. You might feel a little better after all.
Well, that's certainly a possibility. I think all sorts of interesting news stories out there. I saw one yesterday in which a woman said that she and her husband were celebrating their 35th wedding anniversary at home by themselves, but they decided that they were going to get all dressed up for dinner the way they might have if they were going out to celebrate their anniversary. I thought that was a lovely story.
Well, maybe I should consider that because my wedding anniversary is coming up on Cinco de Mayo here. So maybe...
Well, happy to have given you a tip.
There you go. What have we learned, and it seems like we learned something each day about this novel virus. What are some of the takeaway points that you feel, Dr. Mazes, are important and worth sharing with our listeners?
Yes, so I agree. Every day there's new information. I think some of the most important things to point out are, one, COVID-19 can present in a lot of different ways, some of them pretty strange. So we all know about the respiratory infection and the pneumonia, but people can have this infection just in their GI tracts and present with GI symptoms. They can have cardiac symptoms. They can have loss of smell and taste. So, you know, not everyone's presenting with shortness of breath, cough, fatigue, fever.
That is, it's very weird, isn't it? And is that because it's mutating? I've tried to keep up on.
No, it's okay. Not a mutation.
Okay.
It's just, you know, maybe depends on where the virus gains a foothold. And while it seems to have a predisposition for the respiratory tract, that's just not the only place it's showing up. I think another thing that is really critical to understand the contagiousness of it is that one, we have people who have asymptomatic infection. So they literally don't have any symptoms at all. They feel perfectly fine. And yet they have the virus and they may be spreading the virus. That's one reason masks are important and hand washing is important. But the other is that some of the highest contagion may be before you have symptoms. So say you are coming down with COVID-19 and you feel really terrible on Wednesday, and you felt fine on Monday and Tuesday, it could have been Monday and Tuesday that you spread it to people. So you really do want to let any contacts you have know should you become sick and think back to the few days before you got sick and include those folks as well.
This is very interesting about that the virus may have been circulating in the United States a lot earlier than thought. Many people think it would be February, but Santa Clara County in California has done some interesting tracing and contact with COVID-19 patients. They say it could have been circulating in September or February.
Yeah, so I think we are going to learn more and more that some of the people who had severe infections or died, you know, before we were testing for COVID-19, that was indeed the underlying cause of their infection. Yes.
What can we, I would like to get back to the whole idea of, do these viruses mutate? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I'm not an infectious disease specialist, so okay. I'm going to just be able to share what I've seen, which is, you know, viruses absolutely can mutate. Some do more than others. Some have a greater tendency. For example, HIV, the virus that causes AIDS, has been so hard to create a vaccine for because it very commonly mutates, and it was finally brought under control with medication by a three-prong medication strategy because one medicine wasn't enough. The virus would just mutate and the medicine would become ineffective. So that's one extreme, and then you have sort of the opposite extreme of viruses that don't change much at all, and then some that are more in the middle. So for example, one of the reasons we have to have a flu vaccine every single year is that the virus does indeed mutate. When it dramatically mutates, we tend to mismatch our vaccine, and we have a lot more deaths, sadly, in that year from the virus. So it does appear that the coronavirus, COVID-19, is mutating a bit, but not dramatically.
The social distancing, is it just delaying the inevitable? We keep hearing about something called herd immunity, where I guess it just goes through the community, everybody gets it, and then it kind of burns itself out. Could you address that, please?
Yes. So there's so much importance in this social distancing. It is not just delaying the inevitable. For one thing, as you mentioned earlier, we were successful in flattening the curve. And because we did that, we did not overwhelm our healthcare system. Now, we saw this happen in Italy, where they had to ration care because they had so many sick people in need of ICU beds and hospital beds that they really had to limit it to the people they thought were most likely to survive, which were typically younger people and healthier people. So that could have happened. I think it came close in New York. You know, New York hospitals were full, but they weren't full to the point that they suddenly had to ration care. They split and used ventilators, one for two people. They came up with some novel solutions. There was a hospital ship that was brought in. There were a convention center that was created as a hospital. So we were able to handle it, but boy, it was close. We almost overwhelmed the healthcare system, and they had to ask doctors and nurses to come out of retirement to help care for those sick people. So absolutely, the social distancing has been critical to be able to take care of sick people. Another thing is that the more we can delay everyone from getting sick, the more time we have to figure out, well, what medicine could help? What other treatments could help? So for example, we know that if you lie someone on their belly, it's called prone, as opposed to on their back. If you lie them on their belly, they breathe better. They oxygenate better. Now, that was only figured out, you know, weeks into this infection. So having some more experience and learning from one ICU to another is critically important. And lastly, we slowly adopted what was adopted much earlier in some other countries, the use of masks. And we know that if we have everybody wear a mask, we're going to reduce transmission so that when we talk and little bits, you know, spray from our mouth, or when we cough or sneeze and many more little bits spray from our mouth, if we have a mask on, we're much less likely to infect others.
All right, our conversation with Dr. Mazes will continue. Dr. Mazes, just hang on. We're going to take our break right here. But first, before we do take the break, I want to tell everybody about Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Boy, a Kringle would sure taste good right about now. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They are open. You can call ahead. The number is at monasdanishbakery.com. It's 579-1959. They open at 6:30. You could call ahead, say you'd like your breakfast ready, then pick it up. They close at 2. They're open right now. You can walk into the bakery, get your bakery goods. How about some fresh bread? That would be really good if you're perhaps making some spaghetti tonight. How about a great loaf of bread from Mona's Danish Bakery that came out of the oven just a few hours ago? So check it out, monasdanishbakery.com. There's also a link to all of our great partners at buckmastershow.com. Mona's located northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. The Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios continue after this.
During the coronavirus crisis, Vero Amore restaurants in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana are still open for takeout and home delivery. You can still enjoy all your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza. They're all available for takeout and home delivery. More at veroamorepizza.com. The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
It's easy being green. Promote wind, install solar, drive electric cars, ban mining. Wait a minute! You can't ban mining! Green is good, but hey, no can do without the metals green products need from mining. If you ban mining, you'll ban everything green. And today's minds are on board, researching technologies that provide critical materials for a greener world. Mean Green, another miracle from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Thursday edition. So many people doing gardening these days, and it's a great activity. You're at home anyway, and folks go out back and get into the garden, and folks taking up this hobby, some growing vegetables. I recommend Green Things, 3384 East River Road. Green Things has everything you need, all of the flowers. If you're going to do the vegetable garden, they've got all the, all these various nutrients that you will need to have a very healthy garden. Brands like Fox Farm, as well as all the different soils like Roots Organic and Ocean Forest. Green Things, located at 3384 East River Road. The website is greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. It's a 13-acre site, plenty of room out there to do your social distancing and pick up your green things and then return home. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. On the live line is the Buckmaster Show contributor on health, Dr. Victoria Mays, is the Andrew Weil Endowed Chair in Integrative Medicine and the Executive Director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. Dr. Mays, there are dozens of efforts going on to come up with a coronavirus vaccine. This is a very complex effort. It's time-consuming. What are some of your thoughts on that?
There's no question that a vaccine is what we ultimately need to protect ourselves, to protect people worldwide. And it takes time to develop a vaccine. It takes time to figure out exactly what part of the virus to target, whether it's live and inactivated, whether it's just a little piece of the virus. It takes time to be sure that it's safe, because there have been examples of vaccines for, I believe, Ebola virus that actually made people sicker. So, you know, I know we're all in a race to a vaccine, but the reality is that before we give a vaccine to our population, which, you know, now that we have the new data coming out about how many people have already had asymptomatic cases, the death rate from COVID-19 may be as low as 0.2%, 0.3%, 0.4%, way, way less than what we initially thought. We want to be sure that the vaccine's risks are also quite low, because no vaccine is 100% safe, and we need it to be as close to 100% as possible. So the answer is absolutely the future is a vaccine, but it is going to take time.
We're going to have our first 100-degree weather here. 100 degrees is coming earlier than normal, looks like by the weekend. I have seen conflicting information, Dr. Mazes, on whether or not heat will make a difference with this virus. What's the latest thinking that you're seeing?
I have seen the same complexity. Some people do believe that heat will help, and indeed, one of the ways to kill the virus is with heat. So if you put something into a clothes dryer at more than 130 degrees, you know, for example, your clothing, you think you might have gotten an exposure, that's going to kill the virus. But our seasonal hot summers, we just can't say for sure yet. It's certainly true that the virus has also spread in places that were having summer while we were having winter. So we can't yet predict that the summer is going to be our savior.
Yeah, places like Guayaquil on the Pacific coast of Ecuador. I've been in Guayaquil, and it's a hot and humid place, Dr. Mazes, year-round, and they have having a terrible outbreak there right now of the COVID-19. Manaus, on the Amazon River, having a really bad outbreak. So the jury is certainly out on whether heat will make a difference on this. I do want to talk about how we can keep our immunity strong. This is something that we can do perhaps today to begin on the path to a stronger immunity. Could you address that, please?
Absolutely. And I think this is where integrative medicine really shines. So let's start by talking about sleep. You and I often talk about healthy sleep.
Yep.
It turns out that if you sleep a shorter amount of time, you have an increased risk of developing a viral infection. So that's one issue. Another is that when we get adequate sleep, we produce good amounts of melatonin, and melatonin appears to have a protective effect in reducing the likelihood of having a bad infection. And finally, and this goes back to your question about vaccines, you know, when we give people a vaccine, it doesn't take in everyone. Everyone's immune system doesn't react as well as you might wish. This is especially true in the elderly. It's why we say, you know, for children, they shouldn't get vaccinated when they're sick. We should wait until they're over a cold or some other kind of infection, because the vaccine doesn't take if they're sick and fighting something else. Well, we know that vaccines work up to 50% better for the flu, for giving you protection from the flu if you've had adequate sleep the week before you get vaccinated. So for so many reasons, we really want people to sleep well. Similarly, we want people to manage their stress well, because when you're under a lot of stress, this affects your immune excellence. You know, your immune system just doesn't work as well when you're very stressed, and you create more inflammation in your body, which is a problem. So I'd love for all the listeners to think about, what do you do to manage stress? I know for myself, taking a walk, watching the sunset, listening to something funny, especially something that gets me to laugh out loud, but guided imagery can help, Tai Chi, yoga, breathing exercises. There's so many different ways to help manage stress. It's something that we all have to find healthy ways to do.
Well, I posted on my Facebook page the other night that no news intake at least 2 hours before bedtime, and it works. I did sleep better, Dr. Mazes.
I think that's a really wonderful suggestion. Thank you for bringing that up. I mean, we're all consuming a lot of news because we're anxious and we want, you know, something that's going to help reduce our risk of becoming infected or assure us that businesses will be able to reopen soon, that we're flattening the curve. There's just so many things we want to know about. But if you read news that makes you anxious before you go to bed, there's both the anxiety of the information, but there's also the light coming off of your screen, whether that's your television or your computer or your smartphone. And all of those interfere with your body's ability to produce normal amounts of melatonin, which is important for sleep. So I completely agree with your recommendation. No news for 2 hours before you go to bed. Do something relaxing instead.
What are you watching? Any TV or kind of movies? What are you into these days?
Well, I have to acknowledge that I've been asking friends for suggestions for things that are funny. Some of those series on some of the streaming programs. People have been sending me some funny YouTubes, which I'm really grateful for. I really like to watch stand-up comedy. So if anyone's a parent out there, I'm going to make a recommendation. I thought Seth Meyers' Lobby Baby was just hysterical and made me laugh out loud.
And again, the name of that?
Lobby Baby. In other words, he and his wife ended up having a baby in the lobby of their New York City apartment building.
What?
Oh, see, we're laughing about it now.
Oh, my goodness. We're going to have to run. Dr. Mazes, stay well. Thank you very much.
You too, Bill.
Thanks a lot.
Take good care. Stay safe and healthy.
Thank you. VictoriaMazesMD.com for more, or follow her on Twitter at VMazes. CBS Network News is next on Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We'll be right back. During the coronavirus crisis, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is open for one-on-one appointments only by calling 795-8226 to arrange a time with Moe or Corinne. No interruptions and no other customers. Moe will even arrange a drop-off at the store's front door and coordinate a virtual design session. Moe's Gallery, Fort Lowell and Dodge, 795-8226 and moesgallery.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
And this is Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
Matt, did you hear that Travel and Leisure magazine just ranked the Douro Valley as a top 50 spot for world travel?
Yes, so how about Portugal and Spain for my next culinary and cocktail cruise?
Let's do it on the Douro River aboard the new Ama Douro ship from Ama Waterways.
I'll need a chef's table dinner, winery tours, and other private excursions.
Matt, consider it done.
Thanks, Ryan. Portugal and Spain, here we come. Go to bvtravel.com to learn more.
It's time for the CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Sun Corridor Inc., representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America. Sun Corridor Inc. is a CEO-driven regional alliance whose members aggressively champion mega regional issues that impact economic competitiveness and quality of life. The organization has helped to drive significant business investment into the Tucson and Southern Arizona region through primary job creation, resulting in an economic impact of $29.5 billion, with 173 company locates and expansions, supporting nearly 51,000 jobs. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com.
And joining us on the live line, we welcome Jeffrey Rothstein, the Vice President and Head of Legal for Roche Tissue Diagnostics. Mr. Rothstein is a member of the Sun Corridor Board of Directors. Mr. Rothstein, how are you, sir?
Thank you. Thanks for having me join you today.
Tell me a little bit about Roche Tissue Diagnostics, which was formerly, folks recognize the name Ventana Medical Systems. What does the company do?
We are in the business of personalized healthcare for cancer patients, getting the right medicine to the patient based on tissue samples. But when a doctor takes a biopsy and that biopsy is then sliced very fine and put on a slide, it's so thin that it's transparent and you really can't learn anything from it. So it has to be stained in order to gather information. The first stain that's always done in the cancer world is to answer the fundamental question, does the tissue show cancer? Yes or no? And we make the stains and the instruments that do that. Then the next question, which is equally, if not more important, is what kind of cancer exactly does the patient have and what biological attributes does the patient have that may suggest to the doctor that this treatment or that treatment might be a better fit for the particular patient. So our role in this, we make automated staining instruments. We make the tests that run on those instruments. We have a library of about 300 such tests at the moment. We make high-resolution digital slide scanners and workflow software that brings the whole system together. We are a global leader in cancer tissue diagnostics, and we're part of the Roche Group, which is a global diagnostics and pharma company headquartered in Switzerland with operations all around the world. If I can give you one statistic, our products last year were used by a total of about 26.5 million patients.
Wow.
Around the world. And we are very much a Tucson business. We do our R&D and our manufacturing right here in Tucson at our site in Oro Valley and a smaller site in Marana.
Why was Oro Valley chosen as your home for this particular work?
Well, we are a Tucson born and bred company. We were founded in the mid-1980s by a fellow named Tom Grogan, a University of Arizona pathologist, who wanted to find a way to speed the time between when a doctor says to a patient, I think we better do a biopsy, and getting the results of the biopsy, because that's an extremely difficult time for a patient. So he began working on what he came to call the wedding cake platter, which was his concept for a machine. You'd have the slides arrayed around the perimeter and different, all the various liquids that had to be applied could be applied automatically. The business began in a garage on Prince Road. The story that I heard is you'd come to work, you'd pull up the garage door, you'd pull your car in, you'd get out of the car, and you'd start working on the lab bench that was adjacent to the car.
Wow.
We launched our first product, our first instrument in 1991. We had our initial public offering in 1996. And around that time, we identified a large site in Innovation Park in Oro Valley as an opportunity to create a permanent home. We're just up the road from the Oro Valley Hospital. And that's what we did. So we have a campus now of about a dozen buildings in Oro Valley. We were acquired by the Roche Group in 2008, which gave us access to their global distribution network and turned us from a regional and national company into a truly international company. Today, we've got about 1,700 members of our team of the Roche Tissue Diagnostics family working in Oro Valley, in Marana, and also in the Bay Area.
I understand your parent company is very much involved in the fight against the coronavirus. Could you articulate a bit on that, please?
Sure. We were very proud of our colleagues in the Bay Area, in Germany, and Switzerland, who created the diagnostic test that I'm sure many of your listeners read about that was released in the middle of March. The remarkable thing about that is usually it takes 12 to 18 months to develop a new diagnostic test. And that doesn't count the time that FDA and other regulatory agencies are reviewing the file before it's approved. We went from concept to tests on pallets on the loading dock in about 6.5 weeks.
Wow.
It required round-the-clock work by the team, and we're very proud to be part of that organization. Some of us in Tucson had some ancillary roles in supporting that team. We have also announced, and this is another part of Roche that's based in Switzerland, that we will be bringing an antibody test, a serology test, to the market in early May. This test is expected by June. We expect to be producing, I believe the expression was, high double-digit millions of these tests per month. And they're for use on a very large installed base of instruments and so should face a little less of the challenge of, gee, it's great you have a test, but I never bought your instrument and the test runs on your instrument.
Yeah, that is so important, that antibodies test to determine if someone has had the COVID-19. Are the results usually available then fairly quickly with this test?
Well, the process of doing a test is it has many steps from collection to getting the result. As I understand it, from the time that the sample is put into the machine until the result comes out, it's a couple of hours, but that doesn't take into account the collecting of the sample and the backlog that a lab might face in running the test and then getting the results back out to the doctors.
As the largest biotech company here in Pima County, what role have you been playing to kind of strengthen the local education system to get it more scientific or science-oriented, Jeffrey?
Well, Southern Arizona is our home, and we want our home to be a great place to live for all of us, for our team members, to attract the kind of talent that we need to for our business to thrive. So it's in our interest to see that this is a strong educational community. We're deeply involved in scientific and business development and educational organizations across the region. I could spend quite a bit of time talking about all the different things that we've got going on, because we do encourage our team to get involved in the community in any way they wish. But let me give you a couple examples. We have long been involved in supporting STEM education opportunities, whether it's judging science fairs or tutoring at schools. We volunteer at high schools and middle schools. We have programs on campus for the students to come see our labs, see our instruments, learn about what we do. Frankly, we hope someday some of them will come back to work for us. We had a big STEM Careers Day plan for high school students that was scheduled for April. As you might imagine, we were forced to cancel it. But we hope that we'll be able to put it back together and bring those students back on before too long. We are also actively involved in area charities. One Roche tradition that we do all around the world is what we call the Roche Children's Walk, raising money at each site and then taking a walk as a business community in support of local charities. We had to do it virtually this year. We asked people to go for a walk at an appropriate social distance, take a selfie, send us the picture, and then all the pictures were posted together. This year, we supported Youth on Their Own and Casa de los Niños, which are a couple of charities that we know well. And this is particularly important at this particular time, given how important that they really need the support the most right now.
Jeffrey Rothstein, appreciate the time. Vice President and Head of Legal for Roche Tissue Diagnostics, the leading global supplier of cancer diagnostic tests based right here in the Tucson area in Oro Valley. Thank you very much, Mr. Rothstein.
Thanks for having me with you.
Thank you very much. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Sun Corridor, Inc. For more information about Sun Corridor, Inc., go to suncorridorinc.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
During this coronavirus crisis, Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, is still open for takeout and home delivery only. You can get all of your favorite Noble Hops menu offerings. Come pick them up, or they'll bring them to you. So check out Noble Hops on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and online at noblehopspub.com. The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk here in Southern Arizona. When you are ready and when the all clear comes, A lot of people are going to want to hit the road. The folks over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, will be ready with open arms to welcome you. Just a three-hour drive from Tucson. Check out southwestnewmexico.org. Start your planning now. They'll have over on the website everything you need to know about your visit, where to stay, and all sorts of recreation opportunities, including visiting the world-famous Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument, one of the first national monuments in the United States. And speaking of national monuments, let's go now on the live line to visit with Kevin Dahl. He is the Arizona Senior Program Manager for National Parks Conservation Association, which helps promote our national parks and their well-being. The organization over 100 years old. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Hope you're doing well, too.
Doing very well. And, of course, you focus on issues concerning Arizona's national parks, including well-known places as the Grand Canyon, Petrified Forest, and Saguaro. So, Kevin, give us the overview. Is this a situation that each national park has decided whether or not it's safe to be open at this point, or are all parks closed?
Almost all parks are closed. In Arizona, Saguaro is the only national park that's partially open, and there's five other of our national monuments that are partially open, meaning that their facilities, the visitor center, gift shop, and in the case of Chiricahua National Monument, they've closed the road, but you can hike or bicycle up the road to the top of the monument if you care to. Yes, and this has been done entirely for the safety of the staff who have to interact with people, safety of the visitors. A lot of our national parks are, you know, incredible draws. The Grand Canyon has 6 million visitors a year, and they're designed to funnel people into one space to introduce them to the park, and then you can go on a hike or take a scenic road. And that bunching of people together is what's so dangerous during the pandemic, and why our national parks are closed at this point.
When the parks open and the all clear is given, there's going to be a huge pent-up demand, Kevin, to visit our national parks. People are going to be traveling closer to home. They're going to want to, perhaps they've lived in Arizona all their lives. They've never seen the Grand Canyon. Can you give us, what are you hearing about reopening? I'm hearing that places like Yellowstone and Grand Teton have put a tentative open date on the Memorial Day weekend. What can you tell us about our parks here in Arizona?
We have seen some tentative dates. The Grand Canyon was operating May 22nd, possibly. But and despite the president yesterday saying that we're going to reopen the parks really soon, it's important that it be done stage by stage, phase by phase, as the reopening of the rest of our economy is, to maintain the safety of people who are visiting the parks. So it really won't happen very soon, I don't think. When I look at where Pima County is on the criterion, the gateway criterion to even get into the three phases of opening up, we're nowhere near that. And it's so important that we stop the spread of this by staying home, by social distancing when we do have to go out, that it's reasonable for us to take the time that we need to be safe, so that our park rangers are safe. Doesn't mean people shouldn't go outside. I think it's important every day to get outside, whether it's just in your neighborhood. There are other neighborhood and county regional parks. There are other federal public lands where it's easy to find a place where there's not much people or a trail that's not well used. And when you're on the trail, you can step off the trail 6 feet to let people pass. And it's important to have your sanitizer and masks just in case with you. But you're right, there's going to be a huge pent-up demand. I'm itching to get to the Grand Canyon. And the photos I've seen from the few people who still live there, I want to see it without people like they're getting to see it. It's a shame. You know, and we can visit the national parks. There's lots of resources in this day of the internet and social media and such. There are virtual tours. There's great galleries of photographs. And for kids who need lessons at home, there's Junior Ranger things they can do online. So by checking with the National Park site, easy to find, and going on YouTube and looking at the great videos people have had, we can still dream. We can experience it from afar, and we can make plans for our future trips.
Let's see if we can work a quick question in. Jeff would like to speak with Kevin Dahl. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, thanks. My question is, Mr. Dahl, why is it necessary to close a park or all the parks for this pandemic, when it seems like it would be relatively simple? If you're worried about your park people, you have them wear a mask, you have them maintain 6 feet. I don't know what the great congregation of people would be in a national park, but it seems like it would be a relatively easy thing to do to maintain spacing. So
okay.
What is the rationale?
Okay.
Simply close the parks.
Well,
thank you.
Well, let's take an example at Grand Canyon up on the South Rim, where almost all of the 6 million people who visit that park visit there. The local Coconino County Health Department asked for it to be closed. The Navajo Nation, which is having a huge hotspot of incidents, they asked it to be closed because they didn't want tourists coming from all over the country into their nation. And if they're going to Grand Canyon, oftentimes they exit through the nation. People who live there, well, they were scared, but they were scared with reason. And incidents of, COVID-19 infection showed up. It's a very small village there. Not only at the South Rim is there only one clinic with two doctors. In all of northern Arizona, there's very limited facilities to treat these cases. And pretty soon in this process, before the canyon closed, every ICU bed was taken up in northern Arizona. So if someone was to come down with this at the Grand Canyon, they would have to be flown to Phoenix or Las Vegas to be treated. So the reason is it's a health problem, and health experts, medical doctors, public health officials have come to the conclusion that we have to not have places where people gather. You could say the same thing about malls, shopping malls. You could say the same thing about public buildings. Public buildings are closed.
Yeah, we've all seen those pictures, certainly at the South Rim, where there are, tons of people kind of gathered getting pictures and stuff. So I think we can kind of understand that one.
Yeah, and it's not to say we shouldn't go out to public lands. There are, millions of acres of public lands in Arizona where people can go and see beautiful nature. The flowers are great in the desert right now, though soon it will be hot and you'll have to get out there early. And that's healthy, but to go to places that are designed for having a lot of people, the rangers wearing masks is not enough. If you go, when I go to the supermarket, half the people aren't wearing masks. Everybody needs to wear a mask for us to be safe.
All right, Kevin, I'm going to have to wrap it up with you. Isn't it kind of early to hit 100 degrees? We're going to have a real hot spell next week.
It's going to be, and for the next 3 months is what I've seen the forecast.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Not 100 from it, but it's going to be above normal for the next 3 months.
So, oh, boy.
I hope everybody's air conditioning and evaporative cooling is working well as they stay at home.
Kevin Dahl, thank you very much. By the way, quick question, and I am out of time. Are they still doing the border work down at Oregon Pipe?
Ridiculously, they are still doing border work despite communities saying this is unsafe with all these workers. And despite other people saying, let's use that money to fight the real enemy at this point, the coronavirus.
Kevin Dahl, thank you very much. Stay safe, Kevin.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks a lot. Kevin Dahl from the National Parks Conservation Association. Quickly running out of time. The hour goes very quickly when there's lots to talk about, and there's been a lot to talk about lately. Tom Fairbanks, thanks, Tom. We've got Dave Ramsey and talking about money. Who doesn't want to talk about that right now? He's got some great advice. Have a great afternoon and evening.